Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing today?
I am excellent. I'm having a lovely time. It's Friday. We're recording this on a Friday. I do not mind admitting. Yeah, it's nearly the freaking weekend. I'm about to have me some fun.
Before we start recording this week, guys, I bought a projector for my new Abroad in Japan studio this week, 120 inches. I was bragging to Pete. I was like, Pete, you got to get one of these. And he's like, I've got two. You've got tons.
I have two.
Look at you bragging.
I've got a little Babby Kodak one. I've got a little Babby Kodak one. And I've got a little, what have I got? And I've got a big chunker that was very cheap back in the day that I got for my friend's wedding.
This one, is so they're pretty cheap. I think this was £1,200, about $1,500. Right. It was a toss-up between a TV and a projector, and I chose projector because it's a big studio and I wanted a big kind of big size screen. And yeah. It's so
a good
cool.
Projector is
inches.
So much better than a telly.
It is, yeah, yeah. It's 4K. It's pretty good quality. It's kind of portable as well. You can move it around easily. And the first thing I did, I watched the music video to Too Much Volcano with Joey and Natsuki. And it was amazing. It was like I was there all over again. 120 inches. It was amazing, Pete. Too Much Volcano. Look at me trying to sell my dear record one more time. I still haven't got the bloody figures from iTunes yet. I don't know how many people bought it. Let's have a look now.
You could be like a record mogul. You could be like one of the world's most successful producers. People might be sort of battering down your door. How did you make the music? Because you made the music, didn't you?
I made it on an app called Launchpad.
Launchpad.
I think the app is.
Do you have any sort of musical? Do you have any sort of musical like training? Like, have you ever made music before? I'm just confused as to how you made a song.
I mean, when I was a kid, I used to use something like Sony. I think it was Sony Acid Studio. I think it was called where you could put loops in and play around and stuff. So I played around there, and I can't play a single instrument, but I'm kind of interested in producing music. I'm not going to act like making Too Much Volcano is like the Grammy award winning way into the industry. Like, oh, that's how I made a hit song. And it was brilliant. And people bought it because it sounded good and not because we've got a million subscribers we could sell it to. I think it's a catchy song, though. Somebody did do a great video, didn't they, pulling it apart on YouTube that's going around called Too Much Volcano, How Brilliant It Was or something. It's got like 40,000 views. Someone like...
Oh, like a kind of someone like behind the music kind of thing. That's funny.
Yeah. They did a video talking about how we made it. And sort of pulling apart the notes and how the song hook works to sort of reel you in. The song is pretty cool. It's called Overanalyzing Too Much Volcano by Abroad in Japan. There's a thumbnail, Musical Masters.
And Musical Masters.
Photoshopped me next to Beethoven. Oh, it's all gone to my head, Pete. I think I'm like,
I'm going to watch this video before the Nagakin one.
What? But no, it's cool. Like, so I use Launchpad, and you get loads of loops on it, and you can sort of play around. I can give you a little hint of what the next song's going to sound like.
Go on then.
Do you want to have a listen? Are you ready for this?
It sounds like elevator music.
You what?
The sort of thing they play on
That's
Off.
That's one option. Another one was elevator music, you bastard. This one. What about this one? Let me get into it.
That's so cool. It's so swish. So smooth. But, so sexy.
There you go. Too Much Volcano. Let's find out how much money it's made. Let's have a look. So we use this software called DistroKid, and it distributes it to everything.
Would you recommend that? It's only 25 quid or something, get your music out there. Could I just record a scream? Me screaming and just for like 5 minutes and then just putting it on, I'll put on Spotify.
You most certainly could, Pete. You most certainly could. I can't recommend doing that, though. All right, here we
go. Get in there.
It is made. Are you ready for this?
You're not ready, baby.
This is how much Too Much Volcano has made. It has made $32.16. That's at least 5 trips to McDonald's. Let's go now. I mean, yeah, so this is revenue. It gives you a breakdown of where it's come from. And all the streaming platforms haven't submitted their statistics yet. So we got these figures from YouTube. When I uploaded the video, when I uploaded the song to DistroKid, it uploaded the song to YouTube automatically. So this is revenue from YouTube. So YouTube ads, $8.25, and YouTube Premium, $23.89, giving you combined.
So was that video just a blank sort of page with the Too Much Volcano kind of their creation, or do you upload a video at the same time? You upload the video and the song at the same time?
They just took the song and they took the artwork that I downloaded, that I uploaded to DistroKid, and they just uploaded that onto YouTube. It's interesting. When I went on YouTube, I saw it pop up and I thought, someone's stolen the song. And then I discovered that it was DistroKid.
It was me.
It was me behind it the whole time.
The Tyler Durden. So you're still waiting for the actual kind of iTunes kind of, you're still waiting for the Spotify. You're still waiting for the big boys to pile their figures in. Right, okay.
And that's going to be very exciting.
It will be.
It's going to be an exciting September. We should get the numbers through late September in time for my second birthday that I've just made up.
Wake me up when September ends, Chris. Let me know, all right, baby?
With my Too Much Volcano cash. It's good, though. We're going to split it with Joey and Natsuki, and whatever I get out of it, I'm going to plough that back into a sequel. Mm. The sequel of which you've just heard the soundtrack to, potentially. Those are two options we're playing with. But Joey, it all hinges on Joey, really, because he's the master. He's the lyrical genius, and the guy that's going to be singing. Because Lord knows I'm not going to be able to sing. We got a story this week from Peter from Norway. It's kind of dear highly revered Chris and Pete. Highly revered. Are you highly revered, Pete?
I am highly revered. I'm respected by every man I see, from man 1 to man 20.
It doesn't say that on the Pete Donaldson Wikipedia, Pete. It doesn't say that at all.
People just edit it how they like. I've stopped looking at it now.
Well, I got a message from, I think I read that Wikipedia was going to remove my page last year because someone kept editing it, that I was the creator of green tea vodka, because in a video I mixed green tea and vodka, and then I said in the video I said, "There you go, I've invented a new drink. Get that on Wikipedia." And someone actually did, and then Wikipedia got angry at the person. Point is, don't edit Wikipedia too much, otherwise you'll lose it. Back to the story. Dear highly revered Chris and Pete, I wanted to share with you the story of what happened when I visited Japan in 2019. I was hiking with my Japanese-speaking friend through the Ide mountain range in Bandai Asahi National Park, which I believe is in Fukushima. We planned a 5-day hike from south to north, sleeping in cabins in my tent along the way. On day 2, between huts number 1 and 2, there was an almighty downpour, the likes of which I'd never experienced before. Suddenly, rivers were pouring down the mountainside as we tried to hurry to the next hut. We then came to a point where the path was blocked by a patch of solid snow, like a small glacier. The only thing we could do was carefully walk across. Surprise! The rain had made the ice extremely slippery, so I fell and dislocated my shoulder. I managed to get up and we soon arrived at the second hut, but it became clear that the hike was not going to continue. The next morning, the cabin master told us that there had been an accident near the previous hut and that there would be a helicopter picking up the injured person. We decided to instead walk back down the mountains to not be a burden to those who were much more injured than I was. On our way back, we saw the rescue helicopter picking up the others. They must have seen us as well, because when we arrived back at hut number one, some of the rescuers were waiting for us. They gave me a sling and started to help us down the mountain, along with the wife of the other injured man. Initially, we were about seven people, but apparently this was a big rescue operation, so we met more and more rescuers from the Kitakata Fire and Rescue Service on the way down. After 6 hours, our group had grown to about 30 people. We were even interviewed by someone there, which was very confusing. Afterwards, they kindly drove us down to the nearest train station so we could take the train to a city with a hospital. I will never forget all those rescuers who were so kind to us. When we eventually got on the train, my friend noticed that he was steadily losing his Wi-Fi reception. I'd been sharing my mobile data for him to use as Wi-Fi, so we realised that I must have gotten my phone, forgotten my phone on the train station. Ah, crap. We got off in the literal middle of nowhere. Luckily, there was an old woman working in her garden nearby, and my friend asked her if she knew when the next train back would arrive. Apparently, the train would not come for another 6 hours. The woman then invited us into her house for tea, which we accepted. I did not know any Japanese, so I sat there smiling and nodding with my dislocated shoulder. After a while, my friend told them about my injury and asked them to call a taxi. When we arrived back at the station and we departed hours earlier from, my phone was still on the table exactly where I'd left it. Why do Japanese people apparently love to help others out? Why is that, do you think? Lovely greetings from Peter in Norway. Why, Pete? Why, Pete? Why are people so nice?
I don't know, mate, to be honest. I would say that people are generally nice everywhere. We lost our dog briefly last week. Someone, not naming names, left the side gate open when he went to the tip a few days earlier, and the dog got out, and obviously my partner was inconsolable that her dog had gone missing. The unnamed person was in the doghouse for a little while. somebody found Buckley the dog. He'd only gone a couple of doors, to be honest. He has very, very few aspirations.
What was he looking for?
He knows what side his butter is breaded, or rather. he's just looking for food. That's kind of his thing now. You get to 13, 14 as a dog, and you just want food all the time, and you just don't care who you have to scream to get at it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we haven't even got that excuse. But yeah, he was, the couple of doors down, someone helped us out by bringing the dog back. So I think everyone's helpful. It's just, you know, some people have more time to help than others, I suppose. And yeah, and the language barrier, I think, accentuates that. You want to help, but you can't.
I mean, I think Peter got quite lucky in many respects that so many things went right that day, but then went wrong, you know. I think in any country, people would have been nice in this situation, surely. Helped him down the mountain, give him some tea. But I think that's a nice story. It's quite an adventure. What a hell of a day, you know, survived the great flood of Fukushima. It seems like he was near Kitakata, which is in North Fukushima, where the mountains are. And Kitakata is famous for having the most ramen shops per capita of anywhere in Japan, any town or any city. So I'm amazed the story didn't end with, and then we went and got some ramen. But it didn't go that way, did it? You had some tea with a nice,
everything doesn't
kind
have
old woman.
To start and end with ramen, Chris. I think
it
does. You know that.
It does, Pete. It definitely does. It's lovely. Well done, Peter. I hope you're doing better.
Yeah, well done.
I hope your shoulder. Well done, hope in the last 3 years your shoulder has recovered.
Chris, speaking of ramen, of eating as much ramen as it can fit in your belly, are you familiar with like biodiesel, biofuel? Obviously,
I love it, Pete. It's my favourite.
I love it. Can't get enough of it.
Every day I eat it.
Well, you sort of see people who have got like, they turn cooking oil, you know, McDonald's cooking oil into biofuel, biodiesel, where people can kind
I remember,
whack it in their car and drive around powered by greasy chips.
Lots of airlines always try and do it. I remember when Richard Branson, like, 15 years ago, who said that all Virgin planes were going to be run by biofuel, but then it turned out the biofuel was grown from plants that were damaging the environment even more than fuel was, and then it never happened. But how the heck, why did you go from ramen to biofuel?
Well, apparently a transport firm in southwestern Japan has come up with an ingenious way to power his trucks with biodiesel fuel partly made from leftover tonkotsu ramen soup broth.
No way.
This guy, Nishida Shun, is the firm, and they're based in Fukuoka, and they mix lard extracted from the broth, which is, of course, made from pork bones, with a fuel made from waste cooking oil. Just making that cooking oil biodiesel just that little bit tastier, just that little bit milkier, a little bit brothy. Delicious. In some of its 170 trucks, they are using this kind of like ramen broth flavored.
You say 170 trucks are powered by ramen.
170 trucks. I mean, that's not even all of them either. I mean, they could switch to electricity, but clearly he really wants to keep hold of his diesel trucks. So he's kind of come up with a... He came up with a way personally, apparently. A 74-year-old chap. He developed a device to separate out the lard from the broth that could be placed in the kitchens of ramen shops. So, you know, once you finish, you just throw the discarded ramen into the thing, and it separates the lard from the oil, which is fascinating. He came up with a way of eliminating all the bad stuff that you can't use for biodiesel.
I know.
He said, at the beginning, I had no knowledge of chemistry, and it was all about trial and error. Just keep on going, mate. I just kept pushing lard into my lorry. It didn't work. Just complained for ages. Horrible.
That's amazing. So I'm looking at this news story. The company purchases lard and waste cooking oil from 2,000 restaurants and uses it to produce 3,000 litres of fuel a day. That is bonkers. But, you know, a lot of these ramen shops do have a lot of leftover oil and broth. So it's not a bad idea. You know, and you have to pay to get rid of a lot of this broth. So if they can just hand it over as fuel, that's a bonus. That's clever.
Definitely.
It's genius.
And you and I imagine the trucks smell lovely.
Well, yeah, and when you break... Well, actually, no, tonkotsu doesn't smell good. I don't know if you... How many times you... Because tonkotsu is pork bones, pig bones. It does have a pretty gross smell. I do like tonkotsu. Like, if you've gone to, what's the really popular ramen chain we always slate and slag off and despise? Ichiran. Ichiran. That's tonkotsu pork broth. It has a really kind of unpleasant, bitter smell to it, but it tastes great. It does taste good. So what happens if you break down? Could you just stick a spoon in the engine and just sip?
on a cold day in the mountains, you'd be like, "Yeah, let's just get us a little siphon."
Well, it would have been great when I broke down in Hokkaido in March. That would have been amazing if I could have just stuck a straw in and had a cheeky sip.
Delicious. I'll just drink the diesel. I mean, it'll get you pissed.
Oh God!
Do not drink petrol. There used to be a man in Hartlepool who kept on huffing petrol from the pump.
Oh my God!
I don't think he can't be with us still. He just can't.
He was more petrol than man by the end. But I love these like novel ideas when it comes to these. Remember we had a story a few months back where they were going to make Japan was going to pioneer the first satellite made from wood. Do you remember that? What happened to that? I saw Elon Musk unveiled an Android computer, an Android robot as well yesterday in a live show. Have you seen this yet? The Tesla robot?
No, I haven't. No.
Type it into Google. You're going to be amazed. You're going to love it.
I've seen that. Can they just calm down for a bit, these guys? Just calm down. Take a few days off, for crying out loud.
Good PR.
Yeah, true.
It's a robot that's supposed to deal with all the boring tasks, all the dangerous tasks that you don't want to do. And it's pretty cool. But I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I feel like it's an easy PR stunt. Whether it goes ahead or not remains to be seen. But... I don't know. Do you envisage a day when all of Kyushu's cars are powered by ramen, Pete?
I just think it would taste and smell delicious. I would be constantly just running around with a little pipe, sucking up the juicy pork broth from the trucks. I'd be a menace. I'd be a menace, Chris.
That sounds so grim. I haven't had ramen in like 4 or 5 weeks.
Five. Oh no, your ramen levels must be so low right now.
Yeah, I know, right? My cholesterol's probably recovered for the first time in 3 years. I don't know why I haven't had ramen though. I think there's a real sense of guilt that comes with having ramen because it is like 100% salt. And you sort of have it and then you feel
not like
you
that
feel like,
chicken
oh,
you buy from the 7-Eleven.
You know what? I reckon Family Mart chicken, two or three pieces, is still better than having a bowl of ramen and drinking all the broth.
Wholly disagree. Wholly disagree.
I mean, I need to look into the nutrition of this. And I know one of you guys listening in are going to come and let us know in the emails.
Let him know. Let's have that on the next week's show. Let him know.
Put me out my misery.
How wrong he is.
Yeah. How many pieces of chicken will I need to eat to be as bad as a bowl of ramen? But I haven't had tonkotsu in a long time. I always stick to soy sauce broth. Do you have a favourite out of soy, miso?
I just like anything creamy. Any ramen that's quite creamy, so I'd probably like the tonkotsu.
Tonkotsu, yeah. Tonkotsu is very creamy. Wonderful. Well, we'll be back after this break in a moment with your questions in the fax machine.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back in the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Well, we were talking about ramen just before we chipped off for a break. Dear Mr. Miserable and Petri Dish Pete, this is Tom in Oregon Miserable. Speaking. Mr. Petri Dish Pete, obviously my COVID diagnosis.
Oh, God.
I think because I got COVID probably. I know how everyone says Japanese food is great, but do you ever get tired of it? I want more variety. I looked on Google Maps and saw that Sendai does have Thai, Indian and Italian restaurants. Do you ever go? Chris, do you ever eat out in places that aren't strictly Japanese?
You bet I do. I use delivery food apps are like all the rage in Sendai at the moment. I think it's the perfect city for a lot of companies to test it out and see how it goes. So we've got Food Panda, we've got Uber Eats, and we've got Wolt. And I had some Thai food just yesterday. It was great. We do have a lot of Thai food, Korean restaurants, Indian restaurants around. No British restaurants, really. Actually, no, that's a lie. Mm. There's one tea room that just does some scones. Some scones. Some scones.
Some scones. Scones. Some scones. Scone.
What do you say? How do you say it in high school?
I say scone. Scone. Scones are a little bit posh.
We have scones. Scones. And, right. It's good. We do have a lot of variety. But I do miss authentic foreign cuisine because all Japanese food, you go to an Italian restaurant and it's sort of often manipulated for the Japanese taste buds. They take out a lot of spicy flavors, a lot of herbs and spices, and the flavors are simplified a bit. So I feel like complex flavors can be difficult to find in Japan a lot of the time.
I was chatting to Vish from the Football Ramble on the Luke and Pete show, and he was in Tokyo covering the Olympics, and he was saying that he was really looking forward to getting out, and his family are from Sri Lanka, and he was saying that a lot of really good Sri Lankan and sort of Southeast Asian restaurants in Japan, they take the blueprint and they're so specific. You know, they're craftsmen and women, aren't they? And they don't deviate from the plan. And some of the restaurants are really, really good stuff. They don't dick about. They use the best ingredients because they have such a level of respect for it all.
Yeah, yeah. I think if I went to the UK, when I do eventually go, I tend to find when I do go to the UK, I miss Japanese food more than I miss British food when I'm here, right? Because when you're not in the UK, there's only a few things you can't get, which is a sausage and some bacon and some cheese and cider. But when you're in the UK, you know, to get sushi, you need to pay like £300 for like one piece of decent sushi. Ramen's pretty tough to find outside of London. Mm. All Japanese food is pretty tough to find outside of London. So I do find I miss Japanese food more than I miss British food if I go to the UK. And I guess where you are, Pete, do you have any Japanese restaurants in your neighbourhood, in Essex?
Not a lot, to be honest. I think there's a ramen restaurant that only opens, they just sell it as like meal kits. They don't, you can't sit in and eat.
But
they're sort of based in like a donut shop or something. So I'm fairly certain that was the case.
What?
I was really confused. I was like, what the fuck?
But authentic Japanese donuts.
Authentic Japanese donut
Mr.
ramen.
Donuts.
Delicious. Someone will Wonderful. Do it. Someone will bloody do it.
Inevitably. We got one here from Leonara. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. I'm Leonara from Sweden, and I work as a middle school teacher. I have a question about a topic I don't hear about much in regards to Japan. How is neurodiversity looked upon in Japanese society? Did you notice during your period of teaching students who may have been diagnosed or shown signs of autism or ADHD? If so, how was the learning environment to make it more accessible to these students? I look forward to future episodes. Leonora. That's a good question, actually. There was a school in my area where kids that did have like disorders or kind of disorders were taken and placed, basically. In my class, I'd say there was a few kids. I don't know how autism is diagnosed in Japan, or ADHD for that matter. It was never really raised by teachers in the classroom. They never really talked about it. So I'm not sure. The Japanese classroom is so different from what I knew in the UK anyway. I wouldn't be able to work out who had anything in the Japanese classroom, just because like kids don't put their hand up often in the English. When it comes to English, like students don't want to get involved that much unless you go to a highly educated school. Because they just get so shy and they don't like making mistakes, and Yeah, I must say, I wouldn't want to be a Japanese student, though. 40 kids in a classroom. I thought 30 was a lot in the UK, but here they have 40. And I don't know, there's just like no degree of personalization. It's not great. I'm not really a fan. But no, I don't know. I don't have much experience in that field, unfortunately. And it's one of those situations where Pete can't add anything to the table.
I haven't got a table. My table's in the shop. It's not been built yet. That's how little. But I do like the way that these situations are called like neurodiversity. I think it's a wonderful
catch-all
term for that kind of thing. It doesn't, it doesn't necessarily label anything. It's just
different. Yeah.
Not I wrong, mean, just different. Like it.
A lot of people I know have ADHD, and it's one of those things that I think's only been really like a lot of people were starting to realize they've got it. Like someone close to me only discovered that they had it recently, and they're in their sort of mid-20s. And they,
oh mate, I had a mate who's probably 45, and he got the TV presenter, and he got a diagnosis ADHD. And Christ, I mean, we fucking knew because we just fucking knew. And it's revolutionized the way treatment for that, him getting the tablets and stuff. He's become a better, more attentive, because, a certain diagnosis can mean that you are a little more distant, a little bit more difficult to deal with. And he says that his relationships are just a hell of a lot more stronger.
That's so great. Yeah. And I think the person I know who's been diagnosed, it's answered a lot of questions, like why they struggle to focus on things in school and why things are always so difficult. But
you don't have to have 100% of it. You can have 10% of it. You can have 5% of it. Like ADHD classifications, I read that and I sort of go, well, I mean, I must have a lick of that somewhere. Give me my Ritalin. And that's not to belittle the people who have ADHD proper, and a lot of people go online and sort of self-diagnose themselves. But I mean, out of it, I don't think I have many mental situations that I've got to deal with necessarily. But I'm a fucking the checklist of ADHD, I sort of go, well, look, if my problems were more severe and if I couldn't hold down the work that I have got, I think I'd be asking some pretty severe questions of my doctor and asking for a proper classification. But it's you don't always have to have everything. The worst, you can just have a touch of it, and it's
absolutely
it's very fascinating, and I'm just glad that these days people are actually getting the help that they need, and the medication and the consultations that they need, and that's why the bloody NHS is great on this side of the pond.
But unfortunately in Japan, like a lot of those sort of situations, I feel Japan is behind, So I don't know, really. I'd have to look into that. But I suspect that it's not handled as well, just in the same way mental health isn't handled overly well here. But something to look into. But in my 3 years teaching, it never really came up in the classroom, though. It never came up, which is weird. We've got one here from Gainbriel. It says, hello, corpulent Chris and preeminent Pete. What is it this week? Why is everyone getting so creative? We've had Dr. Miserable and Petri Dish Pete, now corpulent Chris and preeminent Pete. I hope this fact finds you both well. As celebrities, you're a celebrity, Pete.
It's a big you've got word, Wikipedia. Isn't it?
Have you ever had awkward or uncomfortable encounters with fans who feel like they know you a little too well? What is it like to be approached by random people who know about you and your lives and perhaps feel entitled to your personal life when they are complete strangers? Many thanks for all the joy and company you provided, guys. Your potential friend, Gabriel, from Upper Michigan. Pete, have you ever felt uncomfortable with a fan?
No, not really. I think lines can be overstepped every now and again, just with the intensity of some of the dispatches. Right, yeah. But but you don't know what that person's up to, what their situation is, I suppose. They just get through their life, you're just getting through yours. So I try not to think about worry about it too much. But I know a person who went out with a guy who was weirdly quite well, very well known himself. He was in a TV show, about, like, you know, a fantasy setting, very popular.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. He was in Game of Thrones. And he started going out with my mate. And my mate, the dynamic was really weird because even though the guy's on Game of Thrones, started going out with my mate, and he used to listen to her radio show. Huh. And so he knew, and it's one of those round table radio shows that people talk about their lives, talk about their situation and stuff. And so they started seeing each other, but it's weird because the person from Game of Thrones knew more about her than she knew about him, effectively. Because he's obviously, even if you watch all the Game of Thrones, he's just playing a role, isn't he?
Yeah.
And so it was really fascinating. And the relationship didn't last in the end, unfortunately. Aww. But you sort of think the dynamic is very strange. Like, they know loads of stuff about you and you know nothing about them. And if you're not an inquisitive type, you'll never find out.
Yeah. That's fair enough. I mean, I've certainly bumped into fans or viewers who listen to the podcast or watch the videos and, you know more than I do about Abroad in Japan. I've had people go, oh, I love that video we did XYZ, and I've forgotten it because it was 3 years ago. And, yes. It's not, for me, it's not really weird because, you know, it was weird the first few times, but now it's fine. It's kind of cool when someone comes up to you and says, oh, I liked that thing you did there or that, and you can sort of go, oh, yeah, it's cool, wasn't it? When I bump into a viewer, I treat them more like a friend that I haven't seen in a while, and that makes it not ever feel odd. Like, that's the trick to get around it. Just, you know, if someone goes, oh, Chris, you know, I've watched your videos. Oh, how you doing, mate? Yeah, and have a quick chat. And it gets around it, absolutely. But I haven't dated anyone from Game of Thrones, and I'm pretty sad about that now. That's the key takeaway from this. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to ask Pete exactly who that person was from Game of Thrones as soon as this podcast is over. But keep the stories, questions, comments coming in. We'll be back next week to all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
It was the White Walker.
Which one?
It was actually a white, just a big white man, spooky man.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.